Our text today comes out of Matthew 2, verses 13 through 23. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now today we're going to step beyond the manger. We're not stepping away from Christmas. We're actually delving deeper into it. Because if we stop the story with shepherds and angels, we miss what Matthew wants us to see. The birth of Jesus is not the end of the story of God with us. It is the beginning of God with us in the hard places. Now, chapter 2 of Matthew moves pretty quickly. The Magi have barely left when danger arrives. Joseph is warned in a dream. There's no debate, there's no prayer circle, there's no time to weigh options. "Get up," the angel says. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt." That single sentence reshapes the Holy Family's life. Jesus, before he speaks a word or performs a miracle, becomes a refugee. He enters a world where power is violent, fear rules leaders, and innocent people suffer. This matters because Matthew is honest about the world Jesus comes into. He doesn't pretend the incarnation happens in a sweet, peaceful little bubble. Jesus is born into a dangerous political climate. Herod is threatened by rumors of a king that he can't control. History tells us that Herod was capable of anything to protect his power. Matthew doesn't exaggerate when he tells us what happens next. Children died. Families grieve. Fear spreads. This isn't whitewashed sentimentality that Matthew gives us. This is the truth about the world God chose to enter. And here's the heart of the message. God doesn't wait until the world is safe to come near. God doesn't wait until rulers are reasonable or violence is restrained. God comes anyway. Emmanuel does not mean God with us only when everything is calm. It means God with us when obedience leads into an uncertainty, when fear shows up uninvited, when grief doesn't make sense and doesn't go away. Joseph does not know how long they'll stay in Egypt. He doesn't know how they're going to survive. He only knows what God has told him to do next. And he goes. This is what faith looks like. Not confidence in outcomes, but trust in God's presence. Joseph models a faith that moves even when there are no answers. Now, Egypt isn't a random location. It's a memory. Egypt is the place Israel once fled for survival and later suffered oppression. It is both refuge and reminder. Matthew quotes Hosea, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Jesus relives Israel's story, not to repeat its failures, but to redeem it. From the very beginning, Jesus stands in solidarity with displaced people, with families on the move, and with those whose lives are shaped by forces beyond their control. Then Matthew takes us into one of the most difficult moments in the gospel. Herod orders the killing of children in Bethlehem. Matthew doesn't try to soften this. He doesn't rush past it. He quotes Jeremiah, "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning." Scripture allows grief to speak. It doesn't hide it. It doesn't try to explain it away. God doesn't give us any reasons here. What God gives us is presence. And that's important because there are so many people that walk away from faith when suffering feels unanswered. They are told God causes everything for a reason. And when the reason never comes, faith collapses. Matthew offers something different. He shows us a God who does not orchestrate evil, but who enters a world where evil exists and refuses to abandon it. God doesn't stand at a distance explaining pain. God comes near and bears it. This passage reminds us that God's silence is not absence. The fact that God does not intervene in the way we want does not mean he is uninvolved. Sometimes God's work is not to prevent suffering, but to carry people through it and redeem it in ways we can't see. Eventually, Herod dies. Joseph is told it's safe to return, but even then, caution remains. They settle in Nazareth, a place with no status, no prestige. What is it that's said later on in the gospel? No good thing ever comes from Nazareth. Jesus grows up away from power centers in a town people look down on. From the beginning, his life is shaped by humility, vulnerability, and ordinary faithfulness. Matthew ends the infancy narrative here, not with triumph, but with quiet obedience. Not with celebration, but with settling into an ordinary life after extraordinary danger. And that's where many of us live. Not in constant crisis, but in the aftermath of it. Learning how to trust again. Learning how to be faithful after fear. So what does this mean for us? It means Christmas is not a promise that life will be easy. If anything, Matthew tells us the opposite. Faithful people still face danger. Obedient people still grieve. God's own son began life on the run. But it also means that none of these things separate us from God's presence. Some of us know what it means to flee. Oh, not necessarily across borders, but away from something that threatens our safety or our peace. A job that ended suddenly. A relationship that became harmful. A diagnosis that changed everything. Some of us know what it means to live with grief that never fully resolves. Death that changed life plans. A future that never arrived. Matthew tells us Jesus knows that road. Years ago, a group of hikers got caught in a sudden storm while crossing a mountain trail. The weather changed faster than they expected. Visibility dropped. Temperatures fell. The trail markers disappeared under the snow. They couldn't see far enough ahead to know where the path went. They started to panic. They didn't know how long the storm would last or how dangerous it would become. One of the guides did something simple. He told them to stop looking ahead and instead just focus on the next step. He stayed in front of them, close enough to hear, close enough for them to follow. He didn't promise the storm would end quickly. He did not promise the path would be easy. He promised one thing: stay with me. I know this trail. They made it through not because the storm disappeared, but because they stayed with the one who knew the way. This is what Matthew is showing us. God does not always remove the storm. God comes into it. Emmanuel does not shout directions from a distance. He walks the path with us. This matters for how we live our faith today. Too often we measure God's presence by comfort. When life is smooth, we say, God is good. When life breaks open, we wonder where God went. Matthew challenges that thinking. God is just as present in Egypt as he was in Bethlehem. He is just as present in grief as he is in celebration. This also matters for how we treat others. If Jesus begins life as a refugee, we cannot ignore displaced people. Now, please understand, Egypt was under Roman rule, so it would be the same as us going to Tennessee, going to Alabama. The difference is, we probably aren't going to Tennessee or Alabama with nothing. We cannot ignore displaced people. We cannot ignore people in need. We cannot dismiss fear as weakness. Jesus entered a world of violence and grief. And the church, we must be honest about suffering instead of offering shallow answers. Faith is not pretending everything is fine. Faith is trusting God when it is not. Some of you may be in a season where obedience has cost you something. You did the right thing and it made life harder. You followed God and ended up in unfamiliar territory. This text speaks directly to you. Joseph obeyed and still had to flee, had to gather his family and run for their lives. Mary trusted, and she still watched her world turn upside down. Jesus was faithful and still entered danger. God doesn't punish obedience. He accompanies it. Others of you may be carrying grief that no one else sees anymore. The world moved on. You did not. Matthew reminds us that God does not forget these moments. Rachel's tears are remembered in Scripture. God sees what others overlook. And for those of you who are simply tired, worn down by uncertainty, by a world that feels unstable, this passage offers quiet hope. God is still speaking. God is still guiding. Sometimes only one step at a time, but enough to keep going. The hope of Christmas is not that life will return to how it was. The hope of Christmas is that God steps into how life really is. Jesus doesn't wait until the cross to enter suffering. He enters suffering from the beginning. And because of that, there is no place you can go where God has not already been. Matthew wants us to know that the same God who laid in the manger also walked the road of fear, exile, and loss. Emmanuel is not seasonal. God with us does not end when the decorations come down. So if you find yourself in a hard place, remember this. God is not waiting for you to get out of it before drawing near. God is already there, in the waiting, in the fear, in the grief, in the quiet obedience that keeps going even when the path is unclear. The Christmas story does not stop at the manger. It walks with us into real life. And the promise remains the same. God is with us, even here, even now, even in the hard places. Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for walking with us, not just in the good times, but in the times that we can't bear. Father, you are with us always as we close out this year, as we begin a new one. Help us follow you. Help us keep our eyes on you. Be with us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.